الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنعم على الصائمين والقائمين برضوانه ومن عليهم بعفوه وغفرانه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى أن رآه استغنى وقال الله عز وجل يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وفي شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله All praises are undoubtedly due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with the sacred month of Ramadan within which we fast for his sake, within which we remain steadfast for his sake and hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our righteous deeds, our taqwa, our tahara and enables us to re-enter into the gardens of paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all during the days and nights of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send His abundant peace and blessings upon the most prestigious and noble and beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and upon his righteous and noble and purified family, and upon the righteous companions, and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Alhamdulillah, here we are on the second Jumu'ah within the sacred, blessed, majestic and beautiful month of Ramadan. And before you know it, we'll be coming towards the end of Ramadan as the days and nights passes by so very quickly. And it's amazing to note that tonight, this very night, we'll be completing 15th Asfara of the Qur'an, which is half of the Qur'an. Subhanallah, where has the time gone? And it shows us that when we put our heart and sincere intentions into any efforts, then nothing is insurmountable. Everything is achievable by the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lo and behold, all of us are still working, still have kids, still feeding and providing and cleaning and doing all of those things. But alhamdulillah, we have this extra zeal, this power, this ability, this energy to not only fast during the day, but also to remain upright during the nights of Ramadan. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to fulfill the rites of the sacred month of Ramadan and to seek His forgiveness, to seek His mercy, and also to seek His pardon and protection from the fire of hell. Fasting is important to note, it's not just starvation, because this is how some people see it. Whenever you tell a non-Muslim that you're fasting, then they immediately assume that you're starving yourself. You're not eating anything all day, and especially you're not drinking anything during the days as well. So for them, it's a physical aspect and a physical deed that a person does. But for a Muslim, it's not just the physical aspect, it's more of a spiritual discipline and a journey that a person goes on to reawaken, to reignite, and return to his primordial nature, which is return to the fitrah, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. And that fitrah is of khair, that fitrah is of goodness, that fitrah is of control and composure and calmness, that fitrah is of worship and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the fitrah of maintaining all of your emotions and your feelings and removing the negative traits that you have, and also controlling your ego and your nafs and your desires. And via fasting, we are able to transform our soul, to kickstart and reignite our soul and give it the ability to get rid of all of the evil customs and adat and habits that it is used to now, because throughout the year we give in to our whims, our desires, we eat what we want, we drink what we want, we sleep when we want, and we do the things whenever we want, however we want. But the month of Ramadan is that barrier which kickstarts you and says, no, you need to push these things away and you need to go back to the way that you were created. Go back to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed you. So our soul is able to remove all of these impurities, remove all of these things which are a stain on our heart and soul, and go back onto the established path, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore fasting is about physical maturity as well as spiritual maturity. This is what I want you to take from today. It's not just the physical aspects of fasting during the day, but it's about maturing your heart and your soul and your body and your mind, and returning back to the primordial nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with. If you just reflect and look at your children, look at young children, how are they? They are always happy, they are energetic, they are grateful to whatever their parents give them, and they just seek that contentment with their parents. And this is how the soul has been created, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be radi in all of the states and the affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So there are certain red flags that we need to look at, and when they are there, you need to ask yourself, well, am I doing this? And how can I overcome this? And how can I mature myself and my soul and my mind and my heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He mentions, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. That nay, that man does transgress all bounds, and we do this on a daily basis, whether it's the day or whether it's the night, whether it's openly or whether it's secretly and hiddenly within our homes, within our lives. Throughout the year, we are constantly pushing the boundaries and transgressing the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى, transgresses the bounds and limitations placed upon him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he looks upon himself as self-sufficient. That I don't need anybody. I don't know. Nobody can tell me what to do, how to behave, how to live my life, what to eat and what to drink, and all of these things. This is what insan feels, because they are empowered, because they feel like they have their ability to control their own life, and they have this movement of empowering people and removing them from their godly status. They think that they are self-sufficient. They think that they can do whatever they want. So it's very, very easy to be absorbed and deceived by the luxuries of the dunya, by the distractions of the dunya. We have technology, we have military power, we have medicine, we have food, we have advancements, we have so many things at our disposal, we have the world at our fingertips. Everything is there in front of us, and that gives us a false sense of power, of feeling self-sufficient, of feeling that you are in control. But the reality is that these are just delusions and these are distractions. And unfortunately, if you don't look at this red flag in your life, then you can end up feeling like that you don't need anybody. And this is what children, when they reach the age of adolescence or teenage years, like, I don't need you, I can do whatever I want, I'll go out whenever I want, I'll behave however I want, and I don't need you and your money, I can get a job and I can be self-sufficient for myself. This is how children react and they behave when they have a little bit of power, when they're exposed to that little bit of freedom and, you know, ability to do things in their own way. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that don't be deluded by these distractions, by these advancements in your dunya, and you feel like you don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you feel like you are self-sufficient and self-empowered. These are what some people may think. And some people go to the far extreme where they end up feeling like they are God and they can do whatever they want and behave however they want. And you can see this in our leaders, in people in positions of authority and leadership. They feel like they are the law. I'm not talking about Judge Dredd when he says, I am the law. They feel like they are the law and they can do whatever they want, however they want. But what fasting does, it brings us back to our primordial nature. It brings us back to our default basis. What fasting does, it offers a spiritual exercise to counteract all of these distractions and these delusions of self-empowerment and self-sufficiency. And it removes that arrogance, and it removes that egotism and the feeling of being invincible. Nobody is Hulk, nobody is Thor, and nobody is all of these characters. These characters don't exist. We are all dependent upon the oxygen that we breathe here in this dunya. What would happen if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to remove that oxygen? You wouldn't survive for a millisecond. What would happen if this ecosystem and the environment and the atmosphere and everything were to be removed? What would happen if the trees and the plantations and the bees and all of these things were to be removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where would your power be? Where would your self-sufficiency be? We are all entirely and completely dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So throughout the year we accumulate this false sense of self-sufficiency and self-empowerment and invincibility. Whereas Ramadan, it teaches us that actually, you know, without food and without water, you are extremely feeble. You are extremely weak. You're not even able to do the normal things that you want to do in your life. It brings us back to that primary nature of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and makes us more humble. And makes us submissive and bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sees our own inevitability, and sees how we are very, very limited in our scale, in our power, in our abilities. Imam Ghazali, in his Ihya, he mentions, through mindful fasting and temporary hunger, we receive an opportunity to develop more humility and keep our ego in check, as we recognize how fragile and weak we are in the absence of some morsels of food and some water. This is what Ramadan, this is what fasting truly does. It removes all of these things, these armors that we have throughout the year. I'm strong, I'm powerful, I go to the gym, I can do all of these things, and makes you humble, reminds you of how limited you are. That, you know, if you don't have food for a certain amount of time, you will perish away. If you don't have water for a certain amount of days, you will die of dehydration. So who do you think you are in terms of going around the dunya and strutting about in the dunya and thinking you are most powerful and you are invincible? You are nothing before these very limited things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So if we fail to recognize our humility and our limitations, then we will undoubtedly fail to recognize the divine power and sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the month of Ramadan teaches us, that don't just think that you can transgress the bounds and limitations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As they say in our language, kulli chutti. Jo marzi karo, jithe marzi jao. No, there is no kulli chutti in our religion. There are certain parameters and limitations and confines of how you must operate within your life. And never think upon yourself and believe that you are the most self-sufficient and self-empowered and you don't need anything. We are all in need of the mercy and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that I will not enter into the gardens of paradise. This is none other than who? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the one who stood up throughout the nights for the entirety of his life, worshipping and praying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose feet were swollen, who would be injured and sworn out, and sacrificed his entire life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even he testifies to this fact, that I will not enter into Jannatul Firdaus, or into paradise, out of my own account or my deeds. No, it will only be by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he remained humble. Look at his humbleness, how he was before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at us, when we have some power, whether you become a police officer, whether you become a minister, whether you become a person in the army or anything else, any position of any power, if we feel invincible. Or if you have some wealth and you become rich and you feel invincible, and you have some health and you have the ability, you feel like you can overcome the world and you don't need the world. And the world, you shove that behind you. But Ramadan teaches us that very, very important message of being humble and remembering and reminding yourself that you are just, you know, an individual, a human being who is sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the food that He provides, by the water that He descends from the heavens. Without that, you are nothing. So the month of Ramadan should always remind us of our humility and humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Subhanallah. Only if you understood the Arabic language and the majesty of the Arabic language, because English doesn't really, you know, do justice to the translation of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He created man from a sperm drop. This is our origins. This is our reality. This is our haqiqah, that we think we have these muscles and dole, and we have the strength and the ability and the power and the influence, and we can make decisions and change the world, and go soaring into the skies and do all of these things. But your reality is that you were just a sperm drop. That's all you were, and that's all you are. And yet, behold, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He became or becomes an open opponent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we, in our own life, to our children. You know, my mother used to say to me, "Mattanu jamiyatu manuni jamiya," that I've given birth to you. You haven't given birth to me. And we say to our own children, that, you know, I know who you are. You are nothing. We brought you up, we fed you, we clothed you and everything else. And now you're speaking back to me, you're answering me, and you think you're more powerful and all of these things. We challenge their authority when they push their boundaries. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, who do you think you are? He reminds us of our origins. He reminds us of our existence and reminds us of how weak and insignificant we are. Just a sperm drop. You can't even see a sperm drop. You have to look, use a microscope to really, really see that individual sperm that is just swimming around like a headless chicken. That is who we are. But in spite of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you think you can become an opponent and oppose the commands and the ahkamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disregard the sunnah and the seerah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and choose a different path from the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given and provided for you. So Ramadan and the fasting is not just about starvation. It's not just about abstaining from food and water and sexual activities during the days of Ramadan. It is that spiritual discipline and exercise where we return back to our primordial nature, our fitrah, and we remember how we were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we become humble and we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we remember our origins of who we are and how limited we are to the nourishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us and the water that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends for us. So this is a very, very important lesson of the month of Ramadan. And if we can learn to remember who we are, understand who we are, and to become humble and keep our egos in check and overcome all of the bad traits and characteristics that we normally exhibit throughout the year, we can confine that and restrict that in the month of Ramadan, then hopefully inshaAllah al-Aziz throughout the year as well, we can become true ibadur Rahman, true humble and servant and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever we go. And the next red flag for us to understand is that وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشُّكُورِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that very few among my true servants are actually truly thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not just talking about the food and the nourishment and the water and all of the variety of things that we have available at our disposal, but the power to see, the power to hear and understand, and the availability of food and water among the divine blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we would never be able to trade in for anything else. Why is it that we fail to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of these indispensable favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us? So the month of Ramadan and the days and nights of fasting teach us a very, very important lesson, which is never to take anything for granted. And parents will know that from their own children and from their own youth, and you know, when they were kids as well, that how they used to take everything for granted. That, oh yes, you get food, you get water, you get a house over your roof over your head, and you get clothing, you get whatever you want from your parents. They're indispensable. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that remember where all of these blessings come from, and be grateful for all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is that month, these are the days and the nights wherein we remember and recount all of the favors and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and truly sit down and say, shukr, shukr hai tera Rabb, Alhamdulillah, we say shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know how you feel after 18 and a half hours when you're sitting there at the time of sunset, at the time of Maghrib, and then you see that food and you have that feeling of, wow, I'm finally going to be able to eat this food and nourish my body and regain my strength. This is how you feel. And imagine those people in war-torn countries, those people in third world countries, those people who don't have 3 meals a day or 5 meals a day. We waste so much food. And even in the month of Ramadan especially, it's very, very important in the month of Ramadan, we also recognize this second important lesson of being truly grateful for all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another red flag for us to remind ourselves and also to make sure that we truly take all of the treasures from the beautiful and sacred month of Ramadan, that you love wealth. And you love wealth ardently. This is the fitrah of insan, that we love to accumulate wealth and we love to spend on ourselves and those people that are around us. But in the month of Ramadan, when we feel the hunger and thirst experienced by millions and millions of people throughout the world, it gives us the ability to develop a sense of akhuwa, a sense of brotherhood, a sense of unity, a sense of being a part of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and also part of humanity as well, in large and far and wide. And develops this sympathy as well as this empathy with all of humanity, and this empathy translates into giving sadaqat, giving khairat, giving fidya, giving fitrana, sharing your food, sitting down with people. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that don't just love the wealth because it will not benefit you in your grave. Don't just accumulate the wealth because it will not benefit you in the grave, but rather spend on yourself and on your family and then give out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a beautiful characteristic of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that he would abundantly and excessively give sadaqat and khairat in the month of Ramadan, far more than any other month throughout the year. He would far exceed that in the month of Ramadan. So this is an opportunity where every pound that you give can be translated into 700 times its worth, and even more so depending on your sincerity and your intention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove so many obstacles in your life and grant you so much more and reserve so much more for you in the hereafter. All of these things are there in the month of Ramadan. We have a few more other points, but inshallah al-Aziz will continue with that next Jumu'ah, inshallah al-Aziz, because we have quite a few announcements today. But nevertheless, the first two points that I mentioned, very important that we reflect upon these elements of Ramadan and the teachings of Ramadan, and inshallah al-Aziz transform ourselves and also our family members as well. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khairan. Kuch zaruri